Welcome to the Abundant Life Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Stephen Kiley. For more information about Abundant Life Church, please visit www.abundantlifechurch.org.
So tonight I'm going to start in John, the first chapter. And I'm going to sort of take my time. Sister Carol is going to find the John 1:40, verse 40, and I'm going to read a few verses there. I was thinking I wasn't going to share this. Last week, I sort of had a coughing problem, and I think it's some of the stuff that they're giving me to take. So tonight, if I'm speaking and you see a cough drop come flying from my mouth, it's not my dentures. It's just a cough drop. And believe me, I've seen people do that before. I remember seeing a video of Brother Sisko's eye come rolling across the floor. He had a fake eye, and all of a sudden he got excited and it came out. And you want to talk about an exciting evening? That was, wow! It was eye-popping. All right, that's it for the jokes. Verse 40. Andrew. Okay, I might have a different version here. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can any good come from there?" Nathanael asked. And then it was told to him, "Come and see." "Come and see," said Philip. And I sort of like to use that as a theme for maybe 2021. It was one of maybe many themes. Come and see. The Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." You'll never know unless you try it. I was thinking about food. My wife and I bought a pie some time ago, and we put it in the freezer. I think it was a special on sale. And she brought it out last night and thawed it out, and we both looked at it, and it didn't look like it did on the package. And she said, "Do you want to taste it?" And I said, "I don't know if I want to taste it." So sort of that thing like, is it good or is it not? And, well, the only way to know it is to take a fork, and for me it was just a little bit of sliver, something I could spit out really quick. And you know what? When I ate it, it wasn't half bad. And you know, I'm going to talk about this a little bit tonight. Sometimes the things of God are like that. Now, if you look at the tabernacle in the wilderness, if you were looking for a place to go to church, you probably wouldn't have chose that place. You got skins, badger skins on the outside, and it looked rough and tough. It wasn't the most attractive thing to behold. But the thing about the tabernacle that's interesting, once you made it in through the door and you walked by the brazen altar and then you went by the brazen laver, now you were going to enter into an enclosure, the holy place. That's where things really started to change in the tabernacle. As you got closer and closer to God, things began to change around you. Now we walk in and we see golden candlesticks. We see linens and beautiful tapestry. And it was a very pleasing sight. And then you had different smells. On the outer court, you had the smell of singed hair and burning flesh. But when you went into the holy place, even the scent and the atmosphere changed. Now we had incense that was designed by God and made by people that were talented in making incense. And then if you were a priest, especially the high priest, you could walk into the holiest of holies and you could see the Ark of the Covenant with the angels over the mercy seat. And the presence of God would come into that place, and the Shekinah glory of God would come down from heaven. It would fall upon that mercy seat. But looking at it from a distance, you'd never know everything that was involved in that structure or the things that took place in that structure. Sometimes you have to get by the rough casing or the shell of what you want to get at the good things that are on the inside. But when I look at Jesus, there was something about him that attracted people. I don't think that he was, if you're looking for something to put on a poster board that muscular and most attractive, I don't think it was his beauty nonetheless, his outward beauty. I think there was something about the way that he talked and the way that he was able to express himself and the way that he looked at people. When you were near him, there was something about how he carried himself that attracted people to him and attracted people that were searching, that were hungry for something that they did not possess. He attracted the lame and the sick. He attracted those that were involved in sin and felt hopeless and desperate. They were drawn to him like a light. But when they saw him and when they got near him, the only way that I could maybe express what they felt would be like looking at a sunrise for the first time. Or maybe holding your firstborn child in your arms, the feeling of love and peace. I think for me, the ultimate sense of peace outside of the church and outside of my relationship with God was when I got my son home from the hospital. And a father will understand what I'm going to say. And I was laying in bed and I put his bare chest on my bare chest and let him lay there. And I could feel that little heart beat and I could feel his breath. You know what I'm saying? The peace that came over me, the miracle of life. It brought not just a peace, but it brought a joy, a sense of exuberance that goes beyond even an expression that I could try to give to it. If someone, after I received the Holy Ghost, and they did, someone asked me what the Holy Ghost was, and when I told them what it was, and they asked me to tell them what it was like, I was speechless. How do I describe God's Spirit inside of me? How do I, the feeling that I get, the exuberance, the peace, the strength, it goes beyond imagination. It was so powerful that people like Philip and Peter, they would go and they would find their brothers or find someone close and say, you got to come and see him. We found him. There's something about him. And in the sanctuary tonight, there's something about him, not just that he's supernatural, but there's something about walking into the presence of God. I'm not talking about manufactured sounds and the dimness of the lights or the atmosphere. I'm talking about the presence of God. And throughout my life, and you probably got those same experiences, there have been special visitations. I had a couple of those probably at some of the hardest times of my life. We were living in Sheboygan Falls. And again, as it is with life, we were going through another bump in the road, and some things that had happened, and we had wrestled again with decisions that needed to be made, and we just felt like we were going through the furnace. And one night, as it happened several times, I was sitting in my living room in my Lazy Boy. Now, some of you will look at me strange, and some of you will nod your heads. I felt a presence come into that room. And it almost caused the hair on my neck to stand up. And I knew exactly what it was. I knew that the presence of God was lending itself, revealing itself to me. Not that it wasn't there before. It was revealing itself to me. And it was so awesome that I was compelled to lay face down on the floor. I was so humbled to think that the God of all creation would walk or reveal himself to me. That's what I'm talking about. It's something that deep speaks to deep. His spirit was calling out to my heart. My heart recognized the spirit. It affected my body. My body responded. And I felt so humbled that I was in the presence of purity and perfection. I want to tell people tonight, it's more than a dogma. It's more than just repeating a creed. It's being in the presence of deity. It's experiencing his presence and his power and his love without measure that causes you to respond and open up your heart. And all of a sudden you begin to forget about all the distractions that are around you, begging for your attention, because you become focused on him. Theology, philosophy, oh yes, they play a part. It helps us to know about him. But the thing that's going to get us to heaven is not only the doctrine, but it's going to be our relationship with him. It's going to keep us on a steady course. It's going to keep us on a path that cannot cause us to be lost. Just think, if you could, in your imagination tonight, just close your eyes and picture yourself in the midst of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Can you see the waves lifting the boat and tossing it back and forth? Can you feel the spray of the water on your face? Can you hear the howl of the wind and the sound of the thunder and see the lightning? Can you see the water coming into the boat? And can you feel the anxiety and the fear as you're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and you're so far from shore and it seems so hopeless to row against the waves? And then the Lord stands up in the bow of the boat and he speaks these words and he says, "Peace, be still." And the scripture says that immediately the sea was calm and the wind ceased. What do you feel at that moment? When you see all of the confusion and all the fear dissipate before you, and all you see is Jesus only standing in the bow of the boat. There's something about him. There's something about his love for you that if you ever experience it, you would never think twice about walking away. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul." I think I relate a little bit to this story because it was so much like my story. And I have shared this before, but it was an important time in my life. My brother came to that little church, Parkway, back in 1972. Roughly 35 people in Sanctuary One. And something happened to him in that church service that caused him to come to his brother, who he didn't even really like. And I say that kind of seriously. He might have loved me way, 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 way. Deep, deep down in there, there might have been just a seed of affection. But it caused him to walk into the living room and take someone that he'd never even told he loved in his entire life. Never! And say, "Steve, I have to tell you something. I love you." Do you realize how powerful that is? Do you realize how disarming that is for a man to say that to another man? Now, I'm not talking about this generation. I'm talking about older generations where men were really, at least in our family, were really, they didn't express much emotion. I knew something had happened. I looked into his face. I could see that something had happened to that man. "Steve, I love you." You know what I said? I didn't know what to say. You know what? You want to get away from arguing with people about doctrine, telling them about how they're wrong and you're right, and why don't you try that? Why don't you take them by their hands and say, "I have to tell you something. I love you." That will disarm a multitude of arguments. And finally, the words stumbled out of my mouth and I said, "That's nice. You know, it's a shame." And I confess that I could not tell him the same thing he told me. I don't think I told him I loved him. I didn't know how to. But see, he had an advantage over me, because he had walked into the presence of love. God is love. And when you walk into the divine presence of God, you're going to get love on you. I worked at Vulcan Materials. Many of you probably don't even know that company. They were a major foundry for aluminum, and they were located in Caraville, and I'm sure the place is torn down now. And you could walk through that plant and not touch anything and walk out of the door, and you would be covered with soot. You would get it on you. What I would love to see for 2021 is I'd love to see people walk into this door and get some on them. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Not just that we have talent. We have talent. Not that we have good speakers. But that they walk into that building, and like my brother, he was only there a couple services, and it was so powerful and so life-changing that it caused him to walk into our home and grab me by the hands and say, "I love you," because he had to do something with it. When you get God inside of you, you just can't contain it. When the Spirit of God comes into you, you've got to do something with it. It's more than just adrenaline. It's spiritual unction. It causes you to love. Give you another example. I'm just going to relax. And as God tells me to say things, I'm going to say them. The night that I received the Holy Ghost, how do I explain that? I had come in, I had met God. My brother, I should probably go back a step in the story. My brother, after he said, "I love you," he said this, "Would you promise me something?" And of course, as I was disarmed, I said, "Yes, what is it? Will you come to church with me?" I don't know if Brother Tamil preached on it this time or not, but Brother Tamil, there was a prophecy that came into the church in Parkway back when there were 40 people, 50 people, and it says, "If you will just bring them, I will save them." And it was at that time, well, it's maybe still is, probably is, at that time, they were convinced if they could just get people into the presence of God, into that glory of God, that God would do what they might not have been able to do. And that's what happened with my brother. And that night that he brought me into the church, that first night, as I was sitting in the pew, just like you did when you first came to a Pentecostal church, and you were looking at how people were responding to worship. I was going through some old pictures that my mother had and looking at the pictures of confirmation that were in the robes and things. And I was remembering that. But that was the same church I was saved in. It used to be a Methodist church, and then it became a Pentecostal church. So I walked into the same church that I was confirmed in. And I didn't see how anything could come out of that place because I'd never had a life-changing experience in there. But as I sat in that pew and I watched these people worship and all the questions that came into my mind, like the raising of the hands, the stomping of the feet, the playing of the guitars, the emotion that was involved in the service, I opened the door to my heart when I asked this question, and I can't say that I even asked God. It was just a question that came to my mind. I said, what if it was real? And you know, sometimes God, he loves you so much and he's so forceful that he's waiting for you just to crack the door of your heart open just a little bit. But remember, he's not going to force it open because the scripture says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, then I will come in and sup with him. There's a time in each one of our lives, and we've all experienced where we've walked in to a place where the presence of God is, and we ask that same question, what if? And then it gets on you. I look back and I marvel. I was a typical teenager, and I'd experienced with all different things in my life, just like a lot of kids back in the 60s. But I never experienced anything like I experienced that night in the presence of God. It was like a tsunami of emotion came over me. And a guy who is, if my dad ever caught me crying, he would hammer me and say, only babies cry. And he's a great guy. Don't you think anything bad about him, but that's the way he was. And I started to weep, not just with a couple tears coming down my face, but something came on me, and I began to sob in front of people I didn't even know. I liked what I felt, but I couldn't explain what was happening. And I jumped up and ran out of the church. I couldn't control myself. Eventually, to make a long story short, the Lord got a hold of me. I came back and I was baptized, and I hadn't received the Holy Ghost. Now I get to where I was before. I didn't know how to pray like these people. Boy, I felt like a novice. Matter of fact, like my son Jason, he amazes me. He really does. When it comes to building things and fixing things, whether it be putting pipes together or overhauling an engine or whatever he wants to do, I just stand back and I just marvel, like, I don't think I can ever do that. I don't have any of that skill. Where did he get that from? I felt that way in that church that night. I will never be able to pray like they pray. I could never do what they do. And so I got on the floor and I knelt by the altar, and Sister Liz was down a little bit further on the altar. And remember, they'd only been there coming there 3 or 4 weeks before I came. And all of a sudden, somebody tapped me on the shoulder and they said, look at your sister-in-law, Liz. She got the Holy Ghost that night. I can't express to you what I saw on her face. Of course, as a pastor, I've seen it many times since then. But her face glowed. She was crying and laughing and all at the same time. And there was such a peace. And I remember just saying to myself, I don't know about any of these other people. I don't know any of them. I know my brother and I know Liz. But I said, God, whatever you gave to her, give it to me. And at that moment, the same thing that happened in that first service happened all over again. The power of God swept on me. Nobody had to coach me. It was like, I came to a point though, and I don't know why I'm doing this. Maybe someone needs to hear this. But I came up to a point in my prayer where God wanted me to go further. And it involved me letting go of control. Giving up control of my body, to sort of speak. And I didn't know whether I could do that. And of course, the Lord told me that night. He said, you know when you went to work at Sorgel Electric that night and he brought this back to me and somebody came up to you and offered you drugs? Do you remember that night? He was your friend and you took him? You trusted him with what he gave you? By the way, that was a really stupid thing to do. I almost got fired that night. He says, can you trust me as much as you trusted him? And I said, of course, God. And then he said, let me just take control of this time together with you. And of course, you know what happened. I started speaking in tongues. There was no doubt about it. I didn't have to anybody convince me that I had it. And when I finally finished that night, there was probably about four or five people left in the church. Everybody went home. And I was single at the time. I didn't have anything to go home to. I just wanted to stay there. And I cannot remember the person's name, but while I was sitting on the altar, Vincer, thank you, Lord. Sister Esther Vincer came up to me and she said, Steve, you really don't know me. I feel so bad. Tonight after church, I had brought a friend to church with me and she had to get home. I had to get her home before her husband came home. He's a police officer and he's forbid her to come to church and he's threatened her and I needed to get her home before he got home. And in my hurry to get out of the parking lot, I ran into your car. Now, this is for the guys. It was a 66 Mustang, mint. First car I ever had with no rust on it. And they'd broadside, she hit it broadside by the driver's door. Now, I want you to think of how you're going to respond now. This is the night that you got the Holy Ghost. I felt such sympathy for her. This is the honest to God truth. If this would have happened 2 hours earlier, it probably wouldn't have been the same. I looked at her, that lady, and I gave her a hug because I was hugging everybody that night. And I said, don't worry about it. What I got, this is exactly what I said, what I got tonight was more valuable than anything I could ever buy. I said, don't worry about it. It'll take care of itself. And of course, she made sure that the car got fixed. Of course, it's never the same once it's been hit. You know, you never look at it the same. But I was beginning to understand the power of God in everyday living, how it affects your decisions, how it affects your response to problems. And sometimes I wonder if some of the friction that we have in our lives is because we're low on oil. Would you get mad at your son if he burnt up your engine on your car because he wouldn't check the oil? All it needed was just, at that time, about 4.5 to 5 quarts of oil. You'd say, why in the world did you do? You ruined a perfectly good engine because you were lazy. Listen to me now. Listen to what I'm saying. Why are you going to ruin your walk with God? Because you don't want to go through the effort of filling up the oil in your car, in your heart. Well, you know, it costs something. Some people, and I'm going to stop in just a couple minutes. I just need to express myself. I probably want to get through this tonight. When I lived in Oak Creek, there was a gas station chain called Hudson Oil. Does anybody ever remember Hudson Oil? For people that had cars like some of the cars that I had that went through about more oil than they did gas, you could go to Hudson Oil and they had a 55-gallon drum in the back and you could buy it for 15 cents a quart. They would pump it out. And when you poured it out into your car, it ran like water into your engine. But you know what? It burnt out just as fast as it went in. Now, we can try to get something, a substitute for what we really need. And I think the thing that Jason's really given me to is if you want to keep your engine running, make sure that you put in quality things into it. It's not about cheaping out on it. It's about taking care of it. And tonight, I look at myself, and since I'm not working much anymore, I've got a lot closer to God. And because it's just I've developed habits. You know what I look forward to in the morning? I look forward to a nice walk, and that's been the hardest thing for me in the last 3 months, because with my heart, I have not been able to walk like I used to. But to me, to have a long walk and then my Bible and a cup of coffee, it doesn't get any better than that. Because at that, it's like I'm getting close to God. I'm talking with God. And it's nothing unusual. There's nothing super unique about it. It's developing the habits that increase your relationship with God. Now I'm going to jump to the last page of my notes. I was the first page, but it ended up on the last page. There once was a guy. He got paid on a Friday night. And he got his paycheck, and he only lived about four blocks from his home. And he's walking home, and somewhere between the place that he worked and the house that he lost his check. And so his wife came into the house one evening, that same evening, and she said she saw him tearing apart the house. He's ripped, looking underneath the bed, he's opening the drawers, he's looking everywhere, and she says, "What are you doing?" He said, I lost my paycheck. And she said, "Well, where did you last see it?" "Well, I lost it on my way home from work." And she looked at him and said, "Well, why are you looking in the house?" And he said, because it was evening, "Well, there's more light here." Can you see her? Duh. If you're really looking to find something that you've lost tonight, you might have to go back to the place that you lost it. But it may be a place that you don't want to visit. It may be a dark place. But that's what repentance is. Repentance isn't the cream on the pie. Not at all. Repentance is the place where you renew a relationship, and it's not always pleasing, because it involves things that are against your human nature. For asking forgiveness, admitting that you're wrong, expressing your desire to change, your commitment to not do it again. Those are all things that are hard for the human element. But when you get a little of him on you, it's a lot easier, and it's much more satisfying. So tonight, I'm going to stop there. What are you looking for in 2021? What is it, if you were to write it down on a piece of paper right now and say, Lord, in 2021, this is the most important thing to me. If I were to ask you anything for any experience or anything that I could even dream of, what would I want in 2021? Now, when you were 8, it might be a new bicycle. But now that you're older now, you've changed from things and you've grown up and you realize the things aren't the things that are most important in life. It's people. It's relationships. Maybe it's 2021. The thing that we're looking for the most is not a thing, but it's a person. It's a relationship. And it might be twofold, because the closer you get to God, the closer you'll get to people. Think about what I just said. Psychology taught me what an introvert was. When I was saved, I met the perfect definition of an introvert. I couldn't even talk to myself in the mirror. I didn't have a lot of friends. I had a couple close friends, very introverted. The day that I received the Holy Ghost, God changed my introversion to extroversion. Because the love of God goes outward. It doesn't just come inward. It flows through me. We were never meant to be cisterns. We were meant to be streams. And so maybe if you work on that relationship of intimacy and you start to get the flow of God's Spirit inside of you, it'll make your whole evangelistic outreach so much more effective, because you won't be able to stop from telling people that you love them. Let's stand together. Hey, how about a homework assignment? That'd make you feel young again, wouldn't it? Here, the homework assignment for Monday is going to be this. Why don't you, for homework, between now and Sunday, find someone that you have not told that you have loved them for a long time. And if you can't do it in person, pick up the phone and say, I'm just calling to tell you I love you. And you watch and see what happens once you say those words with sincerity. It's best to do it with you can hold your hand and look in their eye, because they can feel your sincerity. But there's something about giving love away that moves a mountain of resistance. Lord, tonight I just pray that you would have your hand upon each and every one of us. I know, Lord, you've sort of led me around in some ways that I hadn't really planned on going tonight, but Lord, it's for a reason. Lord, there are people that are searching for intimacy, and they're looking in all.
Thank you for listening to this Abundant Life Church podcast. We pray it has strengthened your relationship with God and will continue to be a light unto your pathway to heaven. If you have any questions or comments regarding this podcast, please telephone our ministerial team at 262-965-5177 or email us at info@abundantlifechurch.org.